Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We have been on a fun series called Accessing the Good Life. Accessing the Good Life. And allow me to recap a little bit. I want to read our theme scriptures, right? The good life has been made available because of who we are in Christ. God has made the good life available to us. But just because it's available does not mean we have it's automatic. We have to access it. We have to learn to access it. And we talked about our first day, we talked about the password. We need our password. And we found out that our password is in Him, in Christ. Who we are in Christ. This is our password. And so Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says this, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace by which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access. We need the access. Ephesians 2:18 says this, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We need to access this. Hallelujah. It's not automatic. Ephesians 2:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So we must access, and we must use boldness to access. Amen. We must boldly and confidently access what is ours. Right? It's not just going to fall off on us like Brother Hagin says, ripe cherries off a tree. They don't just fall off on us. No, we need to boldly and confidently take hold of it, access it. Amen. Hallelujah. And we have a password. And so it's available, but it's not automatic. Just like our bank accounts, we have a password, but we have to access it. And the reason why there's a password is so no one else can access what's ours, right? We want to be able to access what's ours. They want to access what's theirs, but we can't access one another's. Glory to God. God's got it set up. Because he's got some good things for each and every one of us. And then we talked about the good life. The good life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified Classic says this, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So that's what we're talking about. Accessing the good life. Hallelujah. Accessing the good life. And then we talked about that this good life is in him. Glory to God. Then we found out and talked about what is good. What is good? Raise the question, what is good? And we spent the whole service talking about what is good. We might have our own idea, our own opinion, our own thoughts about what is good and what is not good. And it was important that we found out what God says is good, because sometimes we might think something is good or we might think something is bad, and God has a different idea. And so it's important that we took the Word of God, we dug into the Word of God to find out what is good, because Ephesians, our 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, pursue what is good for you and others. We are to pursue what's good for ourselves and for others. And if we don't know what is good, or if our idea of good is either shallow or incorrect, then we can be pursuing the wrong thing. So it was important that we spent time finding out what does God say is good, so we can pursue that and lay hold of it. That's part of accessing the good life, is we need to find out what does the good life look like from God's perspective. What does he think is good for us? Amen? And it's much better than we actually think, right? And we found that out as we went through it. God's idea of good for us is way better than our idea of good for us and for others. So, and then we talked about your key. We need the password to access it, but we also found out that we need a key. In order to get what's on the other side of the door, we need a key to unlock the door. Amen? A key to unlock the door, a key to unlock, you know, the mailbox, a key to unlock. The key gives us, what the key does is it unlocks the door so we can access what's on the other side of the door. And we talked about that key, and we found out that that key is faith. The key is faith. And then last week we talked about, now that we got the key and we've unlocked the door, now let's talk about opening the door, right? Just because the door's unlocked doesn't mean that it's open. You know, there's a whole lot of people sitting, we're talking about in spiritual prison, that don't have to be in spiritual prison because Jesus has already unlocked the door. Amen? He's already set the captives free. But if people don't know they're free, they will stay in bondage. They will live in bondage. They will function and operate in bondage and never even experience or access or enjoy their freedom and deliverance, which is sad. So we're talking about how to open the door now that it's unlocked. And so last week we just talked about that that we found out that the key to access all that God has graciously given us is faith. And then we began to look at how to open the door. How do we use this key that God gave us to access the good life? And we talked about the process. Remember the process? The process was thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to actions. And actions lead to results. And short-term results are only based on changing actions. Because over the process of time, we change our actions and get the result we want. And over the process of time, we will find ourselves tapping back to our old thinking. And the old thoughts will put us back in the old spiral. And that's why the weight loss industry is such a profitable industry, because people only change an action for 90 days, 60 days, 90 days, get the result. And then they think we're good to go, and then they start thinking the way they used to think and eating the way they used to eat and doing what they used to do, and it started to produce the old result again. And so then it's just this cycle. And so the important thing is we must renew our minds with the Word of God. And that's why God said that. He said, listen, it's not just a matter of changing actions. It's a matter of renewing our mind. Renew your mind. Why? So we can prove and demonstrate the perfect will of God. Can't just do it by changing actions. We have to renew our mind so we can continually demonstrate what the perfect will of God is. So one of the key things about faith, and the key is the first way that we act on the Word, the first way of action in regards to faith. Faith without works is dead. The first and primary way of action in regards to faith is to speak the Word. Say. Speak the Word and then take action in line with that Word. So accessing the good life demands action. And last week we talked about, when we finished off with Luke chapter 18, talking about the shout of faith and praise. The shout of faith and praise brings justice, right? Where God sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right. Justice in our lives. Avenge me. He's our avenger. He wants to protect. He wants to defend us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to set things right, put things right, and make things right in our life. And it's a result of our continually, the shout of faith and praise. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. It's a faith action. It's a spirit of faith. The shout of faith and praise brings justice. So now today, let's go to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37. Because we've been talking about a fair amount about praise and worship and rejoicing over the last few months, but I've never got to this verse. This verse, Psalm 37, verse 4, says this: "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, let me just mention this and address this first. We'll get to it. But notice what he did not say. He did not say, delight yourself in the Lord, and you can have whatever you want. There is a difference. There is a difference. And that's one of the reasons why the delight part is to begin with. Because delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I'll just kind of throw this out here right now. A lot of times we don't know what we want, but he does. I think it was Thomas Edison said, I can help anybody get whatever they want. It's just the problem is most people don't know what they want. Interesting. Interesting. Don't know what they want. And so let's continue on here. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The word delight means this. In this portion of Scripture, the word delight means this. To be soft or pliable. Isn't that interesting? So what does that mean, to be soft and pliable? Well, to me, that would be like being in sync with him. Right? Walking with him. Not walking in that direction and he's walking in that direction, but we're walking with him. We're in sync with him. We are one with him. You know, spiritually, when we got born again, we are one with him. But you know what? We can be one with him and still not think like him and walk like him and act like him. We can be out of sync even though we're one with him. Spiritually, we're one with him, right? Positionally, in Christ, we are one with him. But we can live and function not as one with him. I mean, this, how can that be? Well, it's just the way it is. You know, it is a husband and wife. The Bible says the two become one. But you can get husbands and wives that are walking in two different directions. They're not functioning and operating as one. They are in opposition to one another. It becomes a nasty home. It becomes a nasty lifestyle. It's sad. It's very stressful. But when the two have become one and they actually are in sync, they're flowing and working together, even though the personalities might be opposites. That doesn't make the difference. I mean, that's, I guess, one of the things that makes Velcro work. They're opposites. It works together. You know what I'm saying? You know, so the personality is not really the issue. It's just being one and working together and flowing together and understanding that we are a team. Not everyone on the team has the same assignment. You know, you can play volleyball and you literally change your position regularly. So you don't even necessarily have a position, but when you're in that position, that's the position you have, and that's your spot. But you play football, you got a position. I mean, you can be on the D line, you can be on the O line, but even if you're on the O line, you got different. I mean, one guy throws the ball, one guy catches the ball, and you know, then so there's different assignments, but it's the same team, right? They're working together, and the better they can work together, the more practice they have at working together, the more they take advantage of each and everyone's strengths and benefits. Basketball. You know, when Michael Jordan won his three-peats, they're different personalities, but they had strengths. You had Michael Jordan, you had Dennis Rodman, who was kind of a wild character, but he had an ability that they tapped into, and they worked together. They made it flow. And so they won championship after champion, three in a row, and then I think down the road, another three in a row. So it's learning how to work together. It's not Taking the strengths. You see, here's the funny thing about personality or our strengths and weaknesses is the thing that we're strong at, the flip side of the coin is that can become our weakness also. Because if we don't endeavor to grow and develop and even expand somewhat in the areas, don't focus on your weaknesses, but at least, you know, improve some of them. If we just focus on our strength, then it also can become a weakness. It can become a hindrance. Someone can be very just kind of withdrawn, you know, introverted. And if they don't just learn to talk with people, then, you know, it can be their strength, but it can also can become a weakness. And you can have someone who's just very much of the, when I moved to Red Deer, we did a colors course, and it was the best personality course that I've ever taken. And I've taken a whole bunch of them, taught on some. But this one, the guy was amazing. And you've got and our pastor at the time, he was orange. Him and his twin sisters, they were orange, and they're over there, and they're the party people. They're the ones that'll talk. They're the ones that'll make everyone feel comfortable. They're just out there. They, you know, and so that's where they were. The oranges are out there, but at the same time, you know what? That's their strength. But at the same time, that also became their weakness, because when he started to talk and explain how we're going to do things, they're still all talking and yakking in the back. They're not paying any attention. So he had to say, "Shut up!" And they looked and said, "Oh, okay, apparently now it's time to get going." Well, see, all the blues were sitting over here, and the blues are very much the people. They're the ones that want to hug. They're the ones that love people. They're the ones that are very sensitive in regards to people. And so he said, "Now, I know what you're thinking, Blues. That was very harsh." He said, "The oranges, they couldn't care less. You know, you might be bothered about this for 2 days. Them, they're just going, oh, it's time to go. It's time to get with the program. They really couldn't care less." But the Blues, they were, the golds and the greens. So the greens were like to study and they like to prepare, and they just, you know, they're the bookworms, and they're, you know, then we've got the golds here, and we're the organized people, and I wish they would be quiet over there because it's time to get going. Look at the time, it's time to get going, and we're organized over here. And so it was amazing. But it's learning how to work. I see what your strength is. So let's work with the strengths. We also need to understand, okay, we need to, you know, the blues need to loosen up a little bit. Allow, you know, because not everyone is just offended like them as quickly as they can be or touchy. See, you can be very touchy and you can become very sensitive to people's feelings, which is good. But on the other hand, if you can become so touchy that you become offended very easily, and that's not good. So being sensitive to people is good, but to become overly sensitive to where all of a sudden everyone's offended because, you know, you sneezed wrong, you sneezed in the wrong hand, you sneezed in your hand instead of your elbow, like, who really cares? And so strengths and weaknesses. All right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So the word delight means to be soft or pliable or to be in sync with Him. To be in sync with Him. It also means to delight. Okay, here's a couple things. To delight yourself or to delight oneself. In other words, I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. Right? We need to delight ourselves. Delight yourself. To live softly and delicately. To live softly and delicately. that just sounds like soft and pliable, you know. And that's a horse and rider that operate and flow well together is when they're soft and pliable. The horse is soft and pliable, and a lot of times a horse can be soft and pliable. It's overtraining, but it's because the rider's also doing their stuff right. Sometimes a horse can't be soft and pliable because it seems like the rider's giving them wrong signals or giving them five signals at once. And it's like, well, what do you want me to do? I don't think you know what you're doing, so I'm going to do my own thing. Right? That's what the horse is thinking. Forget you. I'm just going to do my own thing. I mean, you can't figure it out now. You know, so as both become in sync and work together, soft and pliable, you get some good results. Amen? Does that make sense? So, let's see, what else? Delight ourselves. We need to do that ourselves. To be glad in a thing. So this is where we're talking about being glad and rejoicing and praising. And so to be glad in a thing. Well, what's the thing that we are instructed in this verse to be glad in? Well, be glad, delight yourself, be glad in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the thing that we're to be glad in. That's the thing we're to delight in. That's the thing that we are to be soft and pliable in, is in Him, walking with Him, working with Him. Be glad in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So we are to be soft and pliable in the Lord's hands. Amen? Soft and pliable in the Lord's hands. As He turns and moves and guides and directs, we're soft and pliable, and we move and flow with Him. We are to delight or be glad in the Lord. Amen? Glad in the Lord. We are to delight in His Word. Right? Him and His Word are one. Him and His Word are one. And so we are to delight in His Word. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. We're talking about opening the door so we can access what God has graciously given us, and it's on the other side of the door. We've already unlocked it by faith. Now, it's time to open the door. How do we open the door? Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." We delight. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. Our delight is in the Word of God. Our delight is in this precious Word of God. Our delight. Now, what does this delight mean? We delight in it and meditate on it day and night. So the word delight here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 means this, pleasure. We take pleasure in His Word, right? It means to desire a valuable thing. In other words, we understand that the Word of God is valuable. It's very valuable. And we desire this valuable thing. We desire His Word. We desire His Word. That's why we're here today, you know, to hear from Him. We desire His Word. This is why we open up our Bible throughout the week and we listen to messages and services. We feed ourselves. Why? Because we desire His Word. Delight yourself in the Word. That means pleasure. It means to desire. It means a matter as something in mind. A matter. In other words, this Word, this is the matter that's in mind. We keep this matter in mind. We think about His Word. That's what the word meditate also means. We think about what God thinks. We think about what God said. We endeavor to think the way He thinks. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. So what does that mean? That means we need to seek first how the kingdom functions and operates. How does the king think? What does the king think about this? You know, so they used to do, what would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I mean, that was a good idea. The only problem is some people would just make up stuff. Well, I think Jesus would do this, and I think Jesus would do that, and I think, and it's like, Okay, here's what's better than what would Jesus do. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Not just let's just come up with something. What would he do? No. What did Jesus do? That's better. What did Jesus do? And then just do that. Because then we're acting like him. Amen. What did Jesus do? We don't have to come up with it. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to make anything up. Well, let's just have a committee and we'll find out what would Jesus do. And then if we could just get four out of the six people, we could just get a majority of people thinking, what would Jesus do? That must be what he'd do. No, that's not how it works. What did Jesus do? And the thing is God actually wrote it in a book what Jesus did, just to help us. We don't even have to figure it out. Just read the book. Amen. What did Jesus do? And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, I mean, just we get to read the book. What did God do? What did Jesus do? Hallelujah. So, it's good news. Good news. Hallelujah. We get a matter, something in mind. It means to be acceptable, delightsome, to desire, things desired. We desire his word. We desire what he has said. It means pleasure. We take pleasure in it. Or pleasant. It means purpose. The word delight is the main purpose. In other words, we can understand this. We get our purpose from his word. If we'll spend time in his word, our purpose will begin to reveal itself. If we delight ourselves in his word, our purpose, our assignment, the things that he has, the next step will begin to reveal itself to us. Purpose. And the word willingly. Willingly. See, we don't have to delight in the word. We don't have to. This is not a prerequisite to going to heaven. Right? We don't have to. But the thing is, when it has to do with the word willing, it means we get to. Amen? We get to. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11 says this, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with her. Right? So one of the words for delight is the word desire, or things desired. And we see here, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, it says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that we might desire, all the things that we might delight in, cannot be compared with the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God will get us the things, but just wanting the things does not automatically get us the things. So all these other things we can... Now notice he didn't say don't desire things. He just said desire wisdom above the other things. Amen? Sometimes people think that we're just not supposed to desire things. Things are a problem. Well, no, things are not the problem. The problem is when we desire the things over him. We're to delight ourselves in the Lord. We're to delight ourselves in his word. Amen? So this is the most important things. Hallelujah. But we can desire the other things because when we desire him, desire his word, then we find out his wisdom that he will help us get the thing. Because the reason we don't have the thing possibly is because we just don't know how to get the thing, or we would have gotten the thing before. Sometimes we just need the wisdom. And he's got the wisdom. He's got the answers. He's got the ideas. He's got the plan. Amen. So we delight ourselves in him, delight ourselves in the word. Glory to God. So all these things that we may desire or delight in are not to be compared to it. So let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Because Psalm 119, David just over and over and over uses this word delight. So Psalm 119, verse 16. Psalm 119, verse 16. Says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Right? I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So we delight ourselves in his word. We desire his word. Hallelujah. Verse 24. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Verse 24. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. I delight myself in your word. I delight myself in your word. Your word is also my counselor. I get answers, direction, wisdom from your word. Hallelujah. Verse 35. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I delight in your commandments. I delight in your word. So make me walk in the paths. Enable me to see where to walk, how to walk. Amen? It's not enough just to have the commandment. It's not enough just to delight in the commandment, but it's very important that we walk in it, that we walk in line with it. We are doers of the word and not just hearers only. Amen? Verse 47, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. See, we desire them. They're valuable. They're pleasant. We're glad in them. We delight ourselves in them. Hallelujah. I will delight myself in your commandments or your word because I love them. We love them. We love his word. Hallelujah. And then verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. But I delight in your law. I delight in your law. We delight ourselves in his word. Verse 77. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Your law is my delight, so I receive your tender mercies. Why? So I can live. We want to live. Now, we don't just want to exist, right? We're not, that living is not just existing. No, we want the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, right? Excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living. This is what he's got for us. This is the good life. We want to access the good life. We want to enjoy the good life that he has prepared for us, right? And so he said, part of our accessing it, part of opening the door to get it is this delighting in his word. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my afflictions. He says, I was under pressure. I was being afflicted. I was being attacked. I wasn't feeling so well. But he said, I'm just so glad I delighted in your word. Because my delighting in your word opened the door for my deliverance and my healing and my freedom. Amen. You see that? He says, if I did not delight in your word, I'm not sure I'd be alive. I'm not sure I'd be alive. So the key to opening the door to the deliverance and freedom and protection was tied to his delighting in the word of God. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. Okay, that's kind of like we could tie that into the last verse. Affliction. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. In other words, you know what? We may be under pressure. Things might not look so well, feel so well, but we can spit in the eye of the devil. That's what the word yet means. Yet. Yet. You know, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. Yet, I choose to what? Delight in your commandment. Yet your commandments are to my delight. Yet. Yet. Glory to God. In other words, I don't let the trouble and anguish overtake me. Knock me down. Cause me to quit. No. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. So if he's given me the victory, then I'm going to take the victory. Right? But we need to be bold to access it. Bold. And use the key of faith to access our victory. Glory to God. And then we have verse 174. 174. I long for your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, your protection, your safety, your prosperity, your victory, O Lord. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. So salvation and everything that's tied to salvation, deliverance, healing, wholeness, prosperity, victory, soundness, all of these things that have to do with salvation are all tied or a result. It's not enough just to long for them. He says, and your law is my delight. I delight in your law, and it produces and opens the door for salvation. All right? Are we getting this? We need to open the door. We need to open the door. No, it's not enough just to know what's been made available to us. It's not enough just to know the password. It's not enough just to have the key and have the door unlocked. But we need to now learn how to open the door. Open the door by delighting in his word and walking in line with it. Amen? So God's word and his will. Let me say that again. God's word is his will written down for us. God's word is his will. I wish I knew the will of God. Well, he wrote it down for us. God's word is his will written down for us. So let's go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8 says this, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. We delight to do his will, and his will is his word. He revealed to us his will through his word. Now, there are some things that are not in here specific to our lives and our assignment. But see, the thing is as we delight ourselves in the Lord, that we begin to see our purpose. Our purpose is it begins to be revealed to us, right? So Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. The word delight here is a root word. And it means to incline to or to bend. In other words, we incline or we bend or we kind of lean into, right? We're leaning, we're reaching forward, we're leaning, we're bent, or we're bent towards doing the will of God. Amen? We're inclined. It's almost natural. We just want to do. What does God say? Then we do it. What does the Word of God have to say? Oh, okay. And then we're just inclined to be a doer of the Word. We've trained ourselves that we lean in that direction. Instead of always fussing and complaining, God said, do this. Well, why do we need to do that? I don't want to do that. Why? That's not the way we always did it. That's not the way that we did it in our church. That's the way, complaining. I mean, that's not inclining to be a doer of the word. Inclining or inclined. It's just kind of natural. We're bent in that direction because that's our habit. It's just, You know, it's easy to push someone over in the direction that they're bent, because the weight is already in that direction. So you can push them over the easiest, but it's hard to push them over the other way, because they're bent in that direction. See, so it's like having your rubber arm twisted, right? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you got to twist. You're gonna twist my rubber arm. It's very easy. It's easy. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. See, that's part of being soft and pliable. Delighting, soft and pliable, right? To live softly and delicately. We find out his word, and it's just easy to move in that direction. We're inclined and bent in that direction. To have delight or to take delight. To desire, delight in your will, O Lord. To desire, to favor. See, we favor his will over everything else. We like his will. The word like. We want to find out, Lord, what's your will? We want to find out what your word says. Why? Because we like your will. We like your word. We like your ways. And it means to be well, to be well pleased. We're well pleased with the will of the God, will of God. We're well pleased. And then to have pleasure. So we see here then, Psalm 37 verse 4. So to me, it's just back one page. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? He will begin to drop his desires into your heart. He'll begin to drop his purposes in your heart. He's going to begin to reveal his will in your heart. His desires become our desires. His desires become our desires. If we will delight ourselves in the Lord, if we will delight ourselves in his word, right? So as I began to delight myself in the Lord as a teenager, see, I didn't want to go to Bible school. My mom said I'd have to go to Bible school. I didn't want to go to Bible school. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to pray in tongues and began to delight myself in the Lord, all of a sudden, my desires changed. As I began to delight myself in the Lord, he began to give me and drop these desires in my heart. So I didn't have to anymore. I got to. It was exciting. So I went to Bible school. Hallelujah. And then delight yourself in the Lord, and I wanted to pray. You know, pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, pray for an hour, pray for an hour and a half. Who wants to do that? But as I began to delight myself in the Lord, all of a sudden, I found myself, it was exciting, I delighted in it. He gave me the desire to do it. You know, the desire wasn't to stop after 5 minutes. Oh, that's been like this. It must have been an hour. Oh, it's only been 5 minutes. No. It's exciting. I desired it. Amen? And I began to study my Bible. I'd go to church, underline stuff, and I'd come home, and it'd be bedtime, and I'd read through my underlines. As a teenager, I'm reading through my underlines. I just go page, read through my underlines, read through my underlines. All of a sudden, it's been an hour or later, and I need to go to bed because it's school next morning. Underlines. Why? I delight myself in the Lord, and he began to drop these desires in my heart, the desire to study my Bible. And then when I was came back from pastoring in Ontario, and then was looking for the next step, you know, I had an opportunity open back up to me. In southern Ontario, opportunity opened up for me in Red Deer, and I actually preferred the Ontario one. And so I went out there and visited the pastor in the church and got there, flew in, was all excited. And then he took me to the church, and the moment we walked through the front doors of the church building, it seemed like the Holy Ghost just poured a bucket of water over my little excited flame. It's just like, I just knew it. I was there for a weekend to meet the people, to visit, to just kind of hang out and say yes or no type thing. And I just knew right away. It's like, okay, right off the bat, This wasn't the plan. This wasn't the plan. I delight myself in the Lord, and he dropped his desire. This was not his desire. And so then I prayed about red deer, and red deer was like, I wasn't really interested. I'm somewhat interested in red deer, but like I told you, the pastor's orange. So, I mean, he was very much the people person, but not very organized. And so there were not many ducks in a row. I like ducks in a row because I'm in the gold. Ducks need to be in a row. And there were not many ducks in a row. And I just, it kind of bothered me. But one night I'm laying in bed and I just prayed and I said, you know what? He's not my source. He's not my provider. You're my source. You're my provider. And it just seems like this is where the peace is. This is where the peace is to go to Red Deer. Even though not all the ducks are in the row, I just cast the care on you and I move in that direction. And so over the process of some time, we got more ducks in a row to where I was comfortable and much more settled. So we got more ducks in a row and moved there. All right. So and it was wonderful. And as you can see, we just left there. So it was wonderful. And then as I began to delight myself in the Lord, see, Audrey was interested in me, but I wasn't really interested in her. But as I began to delight myself in the Lord, so I'm letting you know. I'm letting you know, we don't know what we want, really. We might know some of the things that we want, but God's got stuff for us beyond what we even know. And he's got better stuff for us than we even know. Better stuff. When the Lord opened the door for me to go pastor in southern Ontario, in Sarnia, I didn't want to go to Sarnia. I wanted to go to the southern U.S. I wanted to go where it was warm, where I could golf, you know, basically all year long. I mean, that was my idea. Lord, if I have any say in it, I'd like to go there. Well, apparently every time I say that, I have no say. You know, because if I have any say in it, you know, I'd like to go there. No, well, he got the southern part right, but I moved to southern Ontario. And so I was in southern Ontario and had such a wonderful time. The Lord is so good to me and he's good to us. But see, he'll do that as we delight ourselves in the Lord. He opens doors. He makes a way. He gives us desires. He begins to drop his desires in our heart. And so you know, I wasn't, Audrey was interested in me. I wasn't interested in her. And as I began to delight myself in the Lord, I'm in the kitchen one day. The Lord said to me, what about Audrey? And I've been listening to a message called Wealthy Place, Your Wealthy Place. Your Wealthy Place, and the whole process, the whole part of the message, Your Wealthy Place, that Keith Moore was teaching on was the willingness to hear anything. Willingness to hear anything. In order to find out the will of God, we need to be willing to hear anything from him. It's not just, we can't just go, Lord, I'm willing to hear anything in this direction. Nothing over here, just over here. That's how we miss it. We need to say, Lord, you know, I mean, my interest is over here, you know, but I'm willing to hear anything. And when he says over there, it's like, are you sure? You know, and so then we pray and we continue to delight ourselves on the Lord and he begins to drop the desire and it just becomes stronger and stronger. And so he said, what about Audrey? And I said, yeah, I'm willing. And figured that was going to be it. Just need to be willing and we can move on. No. He asked me again, you know, the next day or two and the next day or two. And finally I said, yeah, I'm willing. And then I finally said to him, I said, why do you keep asking me that? And he said, what are you going to do about it? It's like, oh, apparently I need to do something about it. Okay, what am I going to do about it? Well, I guess I'll phone her up and we're going to go for coffee. And so we did that. But I'm telling you, God knows what we want more than we do. She is amazing. She is what I want. But I did not know that. Hallelujah. I didn't know I wanted to go to Southern Ontario, but I'm glad I did. And I didn't know I was supposed to go to Red Deer, but that's how I met her. Amen. That's how I met Audrey. So, when Thomas Edison said, "I can help anyone get what they want, but most people don't know what they want," I'm beginning to see that it's actually more true than I thought. You know, sometimes this is what we want. This is the level. I just want this. And sometimes this is even a stretch for us. This is what I want. But God says, listen, I got stuff for you. I got stuff for you here. Matter of fact, it's not even here. It's just over here. It's a different chapter even. Sometimes it's just God's got such great things for us. So let's go and close here with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose." That word purpose is the Hebrew word delight or desire. This is the word we've been talking about. "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose, every delight, every desire under heaven." Everything there is a season, a time, and every purpose or delight under heaven. So, for example, there was a purpose for Mary. There was a desire for Mary, and that was to have a baby. And when the angel showed up, she said, "So be it unto me according to your word." She delighted herself in the word. She believed the angel. There was a season, there was a time for every purpose and delight. Mary had a baby. Elisha, to start in ministry with Elijah and to receive the mantle. There was a season and there was a time for this purpose and for this delight. David, there was a season and a time for every purpose, the delight for him to be king and to build a house for God. Right? To build God a house, a temple. Nehemiah, there was a season and a time for every purpose and delight. All of a sudden, Nehemiah began to recognize the purpose. And he was to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. Rebuild the wall. He was so overwhelmed with the purpose that the king said, "What's going on? You're looking distracted. You're not yourself." And he said, "I'm understanding my purpose. I need to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall." And so the king made it available for him. Hannah, she had a desire. Into everything there is a season and a time for every purpose and delight. Hannah was to have her Samuel. Jesus, I mean, there's lots, but I just love this one. It's just because it's the weirdest way it's written, but Jesus must needs be go through Samaria. John chapter 4. For every season and time, in everything there is a season and a time to every purpose and every delight. And as Jesus delighted himself in the Father, he recognized the season and the time, the purpose of that day, that he must needs be go through Samaria. I have to go through Samaria today. I don't know why, I just have to go. I'll know when I get there. And revival broke out. Saul, in everything there's a season and a time to every purpose. And he thought what he was doing was for God. And so as he was delighting himself in the Lord, he had this desire to what? To go on the road to Damascus. And on that road, he had an encounter with Jesus. That wasn't his desire. That wasn't his want. I mean, he was delighting himself in God, and God dropped this desire in his heart, and he got on the road, and it caused him to intersect and connect and had this encounter with the Messiah. Found out that what he was doing was completely contrary to the plan of God. And it straightened him out that fast. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose and delight. Peter, James, and John, and Matthew are at work. Peter, James, and John are fishermen. They've got their business. James and John are with their father. They're fishing. Matthew's at work in the tax office. Jesus comes by and says, "Follow me." And they did. They left their jobs and followed him. Amen? So, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose and delight. This is one of the ways that we open the door to get what's on the other side for us. Amen? Delight ourselves in the Lord. And then next week, so as we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord, He continues to deposit his desires in our heart. As we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord, he continues to deposit his desires in our heart. And so then next week, we're going to start in verse 5, which says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he will bring it to pass." And so that's where we're going next week. But this week, we found out the importance of delighting ourselves in the Lord to help open the door. Amen? Amen. Glory to God.